Hey guys, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are the Holiday Bros, and you're listening to the Holiday Bros Podcast.
Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros.
Good tidings to you, Kevin, and to the listeners out there. This is the Holiday Bros Podcast, and on today's episode, we are talking about
Tales from the Crypt, episode titled, And All Through the House. That was a little better than normal, I think.
All right, maybe we finally got that. How many episodes in? What episode number is this?
Four?
This is episode, no, is
no.
it?
Okay. Wait.
Five.
No, April was our first for Easter. No, March was. No, February.
Oh, man, this is a train wreck. I love it.
I don't remember now.
I guess I could just look, but we are recording this episode. Do we usually say when we're recording this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's July 23rd, 2017.
Okay, so
obviously, I don't know why I was about to say this is for August. Obviously it is, because that's when it's published, but we just got to remind ourselves. And, yeah, I don't even know why I had to keep reminding myself that it's for August.
Well, this is episode five, six. This is episode six, 100% six.
All right, good. Somebody knows.
Yeah, it's episode six of the Holiday Bros Podcast.
Yeah.
So maybe we finally got the intro down, but we didn't get the episode number down. So we're working on it.
Yeah, we're getting there. But so we are doing an episode called "An All Through the House," and this is actually season one, episode two only. It's brazen for a brand new series to throw out a holiday episode on their second one. And in the middle of June.
Exactly. I don't understand the June release on this one. It drove me nuts. I don't know if maybe they just had, like, not that many episodes recorded and they finally got picked up, so they had to throw it out there. It doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm almost positive. All right, so what network was this on originally?
HBO.
Yeah, so whether you know or not, most HBO show, I mean, I shouldn't say that. They are all throughout the year, but a lot of HBO shows are in the summertime. So I think HBO has been doing this since the beginning of time.
But why not save it for the next month for July so you could at least do a Christmas in July and at least have it make a little bit of sense?
Yeah.
This is the beginning of June.
June 10th. And I believe episode 1 and 2 were both on June 10th. I think the way that this show aired,
yes,
they were they were half-hour episodes, but they were two a day.
Yeah, I did notice that because I saw the first episode was June 10th as well. So I got a little confused. I thought maybe I read something wrong online, but that makes sense.
It surprised me, though. I actually thought this show was an hour-long episode because I'm like, all right, how much for a plot line and a horror show, how much could you fit into a half hour? And there's no commercials on HBO because you're paying for it. So, it was closer to the half-hour mark, but still wasn't, a full 30 minutes or so. It was, I don't know, 26 or so.
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting, though. I'll tell you that. For a Christmas episode, a 22-minute one, what could you say about the acting right off the bat? I mean,
we just need to state how absolutely horrible the acting was in this episode. And I could talk about that all day long, and we will. Do want to mention it was directed by Robert Zemeckis, and it was written by Fred Deckler, and it stars John... I'm going to say it's Kassir, but he is, that's the voice of the Crypt Keeper. Mary Ellen Trainer, who was, the character's name was just wife. Larry Drake played Santa. Marshall Bell was the husband, but we know throughout it that his name is Joseph. And Lindsay Whitney Barry, who played Carrie Ann, who is the little girl, the daughter of...
Not many characters in this episode.
No. And then I can't help but think that's probably how a lot of them are. And I watched one other episode of Tales from the Crypt. So I do not really know how this show is. And I plan on watching them all. I want to get into it, but you figure this is something brand new. I don't think they knew what they were doing. Even John's voice as the Crypt Keeper was not really on par of what you hear later on as it matured.
Right. Now, I got to admit, though, like we didn't have HBO growing up. We would only catch it when it was free, like for a weekend or whatever. And
we were just looking for nudes.
Right. I mean, that's all you got to look for when you're a kid. But the Crypt Keeper series, like, it was based off of a comic book series, and
which I didn't realize until I saw all the seasons, season 2, 3, 4. He's reading there's a comic book in every one of them.
Yeah. Now, I was 10 when this came out. So I think when I was 10, and if I would have seen this, it would have been one of those things that grossed me out to the point where I was a little afraid of it.
Oh, because yeah, definitely. I was afraid of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
The way the Crypt Keeper looked version. In the beginning with that mask on was horrible. It was like...
I thought he looked like Chucky.
Yes. Just the way the eyes were set in the mask, it was frightening.
Now, do you think, even though you saw the mask off later, I was trying to picture it. It didn't look like that mask was on the actual puppet. I honestly think that they just put eyes into that mask.
They might have, because...
The way the eyes were.
There was something weird about the eyes, because even, like, as the Crypt Keeper, his eyes are sunk in to begin with. So this mask had the eyes, like, right there. So yeah. I think it was just a different costume made up for this character.
But he really looked like Chucky, like a deformed Chucky.
Yeah. And he wasn't, like, looking right at the camera. It was kind of like he was looking off, so it kind of threw me.
No, I thought I kept laughing a little bit, because I kept thinking of Billy Baloney, and all I heard was, I heard the sound of his eyes going back and forth.
Oh, man. Now, the Crypt Keeper... Like you said, we didn't watch it growing up, and I haven't watched it either, like as far as multiple episodes. So I'm really got to look into it and see if there are other holiday episodes. But I'm assuming he's the same throughout the whole series with all these little one-offs and zingers that he comes up with.
Well, I know for a fact he is, because I actually just all watched them all again last year. But as a kid growing up in the 90s, I was a big fan of Saturday Morning Tales from the Crypt Keeper, which mm-hmm. was the cartoon version of this. And it was the same voice actor. It was John Cassier. And I'm probably saying that wrong, but Cassier sounds nice, so I'm sticking with that. But it was his voice. And the entire thing, 99% of everything the Crypt Keeper says is a pun. It's absolutely horrible. Like, all right, so he was dressed up at the very beginning. He was dressed up as Santa Claus, so he rips this one out.
Why else would I be in this getup? Unless there was a clause in my contract.
I love it.
It is absolutely ridiculous. All the puns,
just one after another too. It's like every sentence includes a pun.
Yep, and even I mean, and this is like the car. I thought it was only for the cartoon, but apparently he does this all the time too.
How was that for a scream, poison ghouls?
Oh man, that's such a good voice.
Well, you know what? I actually have specific notes written on this that the Crypt Keeper has to be, in my opinion, one of the best character voices in all of television. And it's such a distinct voice, and whether it's probably circumstantial because we see that we hear that voice with him, but that is the one voice that no matter what, you cannot help but just picture a rotting corpse when you hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a simple, and it is, I love that voice. Like I said, I mean, as a kid, I would have been scared shitless of it. I mean, I was scared of Michael Jackson when he turned into the zombie.
Yeah, as you a were. Kid,
you know, so, I
Once
mean.
Once you hit the yellow eyes.
Yeah, that too. So, Thriller petrified me, a 10-minute music video that scared the crap out of me. So, the Crypt Keeper, I knew I would have turned away, or it would have been one of those things, like, if we had it and you and Nick were, like, telling me to watch it, I would have been like, I would have been, like, covering, you know, trying to make it look like I'm looking, but I would have been looking, like, up at the TV or down, and I could see you guys giving me the third degree, asking me what I just watched.
Just questioning you to make sure you were watching. So the way the episode begins, it's just like a classic – this is your classic 80s movie, it looks like. You know, the whole setup, the house, just the decor, everything about it gives you that gross 80s filter.
Yeah, well, it's
– it's definitely low budget.
Oh, no, it definitely was. I mean, I wonder how much they had to pay for the intro song. I mean,
I enjoyed that because even I was watching it with my wife, and she said, you know, imagine if you were just a kid and you just tuned into this right now and you thought it was like a great Christmas movie or something.
Well, I plan on doing that to Erin, because she's always watching these Hallmark movies. So I'm gonna put this on and she'll be like, what are you watching? I'll be like, Hallmark Christmas movie. It looked kind of good. Until she sees the opening scene.
Now, how did you like the opening scene where she's in there and you could tell she's crazy right off the bat? Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know, it's just the look in her eyes. And then, like, he says something. Do you have what he says? I should ask you that beforehand about the fire getting out of control or something. And did you have the poker?
What do we have here? I was going to use... Oh, he does say the title too, by the way.
"'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house."
That's a heavy breath on that house.
Very breath.
Yeah, he was. That's what I said. The voice, he's not really up to where he needs to be. As he is in later episodes. But yeah, this is what the husband does.
"Something needs to be done about that fire. Have you got the poker?"
"Yes."
"Well, let me have it."
"What did you say?"
"What are you, deaf? I said let me have it."
"Merry Christmas, you son of a bitch."
So, okay, let me ask you something. Right off of the bat, he comes with her like, "What are you, deaf?" Do you think he's just a dick every day to her, and this is just the end? Like, she just couldn't take anymore.
Well, it's either that or the fact that he poured himself a drink. I think we're supposed to assume he's an alcoholic and is abusive to his wife. Now, I rewound it 3 times just to make sure I could see how good the details were. Did you see when they switched them out? Because they didn't cut the camera. So when he said, "Let me have it," or whatever, he bends down to pour the drink. So it's her standing behind. So the wife picked up the poker, and she's standing behind the couch, and she has it raised above her head with 2 hands, and she goes to whack him on the head. Now, while she's doing this, while her hands are up in the air, he bends down to pick the drink up, but his head disappears out of frame. You hear the liquor being poured, and then what comes back up is a dummy head, but you don't see the eye. You don't see the eyes or anything because the camera never cuts. So she goes and she swipes down and hits this dummy head, and the poker just squishes into the middle. You can tell it's complete rubber.
Oh yeah, I did notice the foaminess of the head, but I didn't notice the switch out.
Yeah, there was a lot of scenes that were very unnecessary, like her trying to get the poker back out of his head.
It was very gruesome, and the best part was the face that he was making the whole time. Me and Carrie were just sitting there laughing at it.
Well, I kept
just sitting there with his tongue hanging out of his mouth.
And he, obviously that was an actor there at that point, and I'm trying to look, like, I was trying to look for some type of cushiness to that table, but it looked like the table was rock solid, and he kept hitting it.
Oh man!
Now and I guess we forgot to mention that whole, when we were talking about the Christmas vibe at the beginning, they were playing the Christmas song by Nat King Cole, so it really did give you a nice Christmassy feeling. Beautiful snow outside. To me, if this wasn't a whole murder thing, that's a very nice homey type house for the Christmas time.
It gives you that warm feeling, and then like, it's the slow pan across the Christmas decorated tree, you know, and the holiday cards and decorations sitting out, and then all of a sudden the classic Christmas movie fireplace scene in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh man, when she was just looking at him like that, she goes, "What did you say? Give it to me. What are you, deaf?"
Well, even, I mean, later on, which, you know, we'll talk about, when she even talks to the operator, that was some horrible facial expression she was making with that.
I hated her. She gave me a gross feeling.
Yeah, it was bad. But I mean, at this point, then her daughter comes down. So, and at this point, then, because we don't know anything, we just assume wife, husband, and this is the father. But the mother's trying to keep her from looking. You know, you see a scene of the dead husband there, or so we think. And it's a weird shot. It's his whole entire head taking up the left side of the screen, and then the right side is the background of the a landing in the stairs. The daughter comes down, she's calling her mom. The mom kind of takes her to go upstairs. But as they're going up, you hear the daughter say,
"Good night, Joseph."
Oh, come on now.
"How come Joseph didn't say good night to me?"
So she says, "Good night, Joseph." So right away, if you don't put 2 and 2 together, then you know, obviously, that this is either a stepfather or just a boyfriend or something.
Right.
At this point.
Oh man, I'm telling you, and like the way that the angle was, like the girl just sees him sitting there, so she just thinks he's just hanging out.
Yep. Yeah, because she did get the poker out at that point, which is good. But and then she does ask, because when, you know, the mother then puts her to bed, and the daughter does ask something about, you know, when Santa stops by, will he wake up Joseph? And the mother just says,
"Honey, I don't think even Santa could wake up your stepfather."
Now, then the mom did something weird. Like, when you're a little, you know, you're a little kid, you're in your bedroom, it's cold, but you're warm. I don't know if she was warm or what, but the mom just cracks the window open. It's winter, the cold breeze is blowing in, you know, they got the heat going.
Yeah, I know, but that felt so good. When I saw that window crack open, I was like, wow, that must feel really nice in there.
You can tell it's the summertime right now.
Yeah.
Anticipating an open window in the winter.
But so with this then, she ends up going back downstairs. She puts a bag over his head, and which we see why in the next scene. But she puts a bag over her head, pours herself a drink, and then cheers to him and just sits there.
Did you notice, though, like, when she picked him up, she kind of wiped off the table. There was a nice puddle of blood on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Then she bags his head and then ties a bow on the bottom of the bag.
Well, but again, though, that was because of the next scene. You know why she did that, right?
I don't remember now.
Because she knows she can't lift him. She has to drag him. She doesn't want to drag blood through the house.
Correct, yeah.
So, yeah.
The whole time she's dragging him, though, she's just shit-talking him because he's fat.
I know, which is great.
Not fat, but she's just sitting there just
How many times have I asked you to lose some weight?
Which actually, and I didn't realize, that was afterwards. In between this, so actually right after the daughter, we skipped a scene. This is where she goes down and she leaves the voicemail for her obviously lover, which I don't know. I'll play it for you. I thought his voicemail, which is probably the best voicemail I've ever heard, not the one she leaves, but the one he has. Does he refer to himself as the dick monster?
I don't know. I don't think I picked up on that.
I don't know if it was his name, and it was, but it wouldn't make sense. Like, all right, let's say his name was Rick. If you're like, hey, this is the Rick monster, that would make no sense. But the fact that he's a lover, I would, and he's calling himself the dick monster. You can tell he's just a player. Like,
maybe he calls themselves the Rick Meister. I gotta listen to this now. I don't know if I picked that out.
All right, so here, hopefully you'll be able to hear it on here.
Hey, it's the dick monster. I'm out partying. Leave your name, number, and measurements.
See, and measurements. Like, leave your name, number, and measurements.
That's the part I loved.
That's obviously a player right there. And again, it has to be Dick Monster.
Do it again.
Hey, it's the Dick Monster. I'm out partying. Leave your name, number, and measurements.
The only thing is, there's not an enunciated D sound.
Sure. Yeah.
It almost rolls off more like Nick. But again, the Nick Monster, like, the dick monster is the only thing that would make sense, especially if he's creepy enough to ask for measurements.
I think we're just going to go with that. Because just imagine, like, if he's, like, awaiting a call from, like, a priest or someone at school or one of his coworkers that's a guy, and they say, leave your measurements. How many times do you think a guy calls and just leaves him a measurement of his?
Uh-huh. Well, when she calls, we hear that, but then she's leaving him a message, which I have here. And while she's doing that, you see that she's holding her husband's will and testament.
Darling,
which I like how she conveniently had right there.
I know you told me not to call, but I just had to tell you. It's done. I did it. It's all ours. The money, everything. We're free. Merry Christmas, darling.
Oh.
God, I hated that.
The music's good. I do enjoy the music in this episode.
Could tell it was a total different time than now. Because who would ever call and leave a message basically saying, I killed him, I did it, it's ours now, all the money.
Well,
you would never do that.
No, and the... What was it? Shoot. What was I going to say now with that?
Will and testament. Leaving him a message. Music.
Oh, if you actually listen to it, because, I mean, that's how the listeners are, unless they saw the episode... And they can't picture it. I will say, though, the voice act... Like, it's weird. The voice acting does not go with the acting on screen. But this would be okay... I won't play the whole thing again. But this would be okay if it was an audiobook, I would say.
Darling, it's Elizabeth. I know you told me not to call, but I just had to tell you. It's done. I did it. It's all...
You know, I can only compare that voice acting. I don't know if you ever played these games... I know Mom is into these, and I played quite a few of them. But it's almost like the acting that you hear, the voice acting that you hear in those hidden object games.
Yeah, she enunciates every letter.
Yeah,
in a word. Yeah, that was – it was rough. I don't like that acting. It just gives me that dirty 80s feeling, you can tell.
Yeah, it was bad. But so that's then where we fast forward, and that's where she goes out, ties the bag around his head, and ends up dragging him outside. And this is where – and again, I had to pay attention when I watched it the second time around. This is where it gets peculiar with the way that the shots are, because now that we're doing this and we're reviewing not just for the content, but I think, you know, we're going to start picking up on stuff that we might wonder what the director was thinking or you know, different things in here. So you'll notice the scene when she drags him outside, the door is shutting and she's in the background walking outside onto the porch, dragging him. And then the background where she is blurs, and then the foreground comes into focus, and it's her keys sitting on the purse, and the keys fall off the purse and onto the table. And that's to, which in hindsight, that's to let you know that she doesn't have her keys to get back in the house. And this is where I start to get pissed off now.
Yeah, and there was something else with the keys that made me mad too. But yeah, I don't understand why the front door closes and locks. She doesn't have keys.
I don't either. I don't even think they had those type of locks back then. Where, I mean, I know ones that you could turn on the inside, but it'll be locked on the outside.
Right.
But that's, I don't know if they had those back in 1989.
I don't know. I didn't like it because also is that at the point where she stuck the can in front of the door?
No, that's the second time when she goes back out. Which, again, another key point. I'm like, what is she doing? Like, why does she need to do this? But I guess that's just to let you know. That's just what they need for the for this episode. Like, sorry, audience. We're letting you know that this door automatically locks and there's nothing you can do about it.
Before we get a little farther in, I just wanted to touch upon something before that. You said this episode was directed by Robert Zemeckis. Do you know who he is? What else he has done?
No.
Okay. Well, he has some forte in the holiday area though, but he also was a writer on all the Back to the Future movies, and he was the producer of the Polar Express.
Well, Polar Express. I like. I've never watched a Back to the Future movie.
Oh boy, yeah, they're good. But yeah, he was also a producer on A Christmas Carol, that one with Jim Carrey, the animated one. Yeah, he did a bunch of stuff like Beowulf, Monster House, a whole bunch of stuff you would know him from. But anyway,
so he's a fan of the cartoon type movies.
Yeah, it seems like it, except Back to the Future.
Yeah, but that Western Back to the Future just gives me a dirty feeling.
That one's the worst. So anyway, she drags him out to the well. Now, did she take him out there just to chop him up with the axe, or is she gonna dump him in the well?
I think she's gonna dump him in the well.
So do I. And wouldn't that contaminate her drinking water? Like, she's gonna be drinking dead body.
Well, she
it's right outside her door.
The best part is though, like, she lives there, but what pisses me off is she tosses a rock down there just to make sure there's water in there. Like, because then she turns around and looks at him laying in the snow, and all you hear is,
"How about a nice cold plunge, Joseph?"
She just wants to let us know that there's water down there.
Yeah, but before I guess we're kind of jumping around with some. Before we hear this, after she gets off the phone and everything, you do hear on the radio, you hear the APB that was put out.
Police and sheriff's departments in the Gaines County area have issued an all-points bulletin this evening for a male Caucasian reported to have brutally murdered four women in the Pleasantville area.
Best part's
County
coming up.
Authorities say that the man, a patient at the Pleasantville Institute for the Criminally Insane, escaped earlier this evening and should be considered extremely dangerous. Officials confirm that the suspect is a heavyset man in his late 40s and is reported to be wearing a Santa Claus suit stolen from the home of one of his victims.
I loved it.
He stole a Santa suit.
I guess he was he knew what time of the year it was, so that he knew an easy way to get into the houses. I don't know.
Well, and it works to his advantage later on. But do you remember, though, after she throws the rock down, she goes to grab him. Do you remember what happens then?
He comes back to life for whatever reason.
Well, I'm going to say he was just never dead.
How though? That poker was in his head.
It was.
So she also tied the plastic bag on his head like 5 to 7 minutes prior to that. Or do you think he might have poked a little hole in it?
Probably not, because he didn't make any other movements. But I don't remember now. The scene, Did he even have the bag on his head when he was strangling her?
I don't remember now. I guess he... No, oh, I don't know.
Well, this is some classic old school horror movie type things, because with the strangle, I mean, this is all you heard. It made me jump because I wasn't ready for it. Now, normally I don't like to play clips too long, but I think with these, got to get the listeners immersed into what we're doing, because you can't quite give the charm that some of these sound clips give this episode.
It just didn't end. Like, that scene just seemed like it drug on a little bit for a 22-minute episode. He's sitting there strangling for 4 minutes of it.
They probably couldn't think of anything else. They needed to fill some time.
I'm trying to look it up here while we're talking, but when that lady on the APB put out that the Gaines County area, I know when I was doing a little research that Gaines has something to do with the Tale from the Crypt comic book series. That's a name of somebody that has to do with it.
Like somebody, a writer, like that's their last name or something?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like Gainesville.
No, paid a little homage to someone that worked on the comic book series. I think they did that stuff like that in a couple of different episodes. From what I read.
Well, somebody's thinking.
Yeah, it's a nice little nod, if you will. What does she do then? She just pretty much sticks her boot on his head and chokes.
Well, actually, it's in the neck, I think. At least that's what it looks like. And she does force him away with her feet. And then he dies, or at least, you know, we think he does at this point. But then within, 10 seconds or so is when Crazy Santa sneaks up behind her and grabs her. So he's already at their house with this nice little clip. The best part is the fact that they announce, because I was like, why does he look the way he does? And he's ridiculous, but he said he escaped from the insane asylum or something.
Now, the way they make you know that he's crazy, they give him such jacked up teeth, and the makeup they have around his mouth is so crusty.
The jacked up teeth, I swear, is just those teeth that they got out of the vending machine.
Those Billy Bob teeth. Yeah. He has Billy Bob teeth. He has like really cracked, dried mouth. And then the other thing that they do to let you know he's crazy, they give him like dark and dirty fingernails. I don't know if you noticed that. His fingernails are so dirty.
Well, what goes through me is that screaming. Again, that's a classic 80s, 90s woman screaming in horror movies. And it's just nonstop, especially at the ending clip, which I'll play when we get there. But like that screaming just goes right through me.
So he definitely looks the part. He's definitely a crazy Santa. And the whole time, like while this is going, like I said, I never watched this before, but I'm just picturing like the way I thought it was going to go down was the daughter was going to hear a little noise since her window was open. I pictured her looking out the window and just seeing the mom out there chopping up Santa Claus with an axe or something. That's what I was expecting.
Well, that would have been for an interesting ending as well, especially if the two then live happily ever after, but it's Tales from the Crypt. Well, and again, probably at that point, nobody expected anything either, being the second episode. But I'm expecting that these things are not supposed to ever end well.
Does it make you curious to want to like pick up the comic book that this episode's based off of and see how it looks?
Was every episode literally based off a story in a comic?
I don't know. I'm curious. I would like to look and see if it is.
I guess I will. Well, when I had Googled and all through the house, I mean, that's what came up right away. So maybe maybe it is known or something, but that'd be interesting. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to sit there and read them all, but I'm very curious to see how much, you know, what's taken line for line, if anything. And, like, that's the thing. There's hardly any dialogue in this one, with the exception of screaming and just, like, random things. I would say it was one of the more... Well, what am I saying? I've only watched two episodes. I don't know if it's one of the more peculiar ones or not.
No, I mean, I'm definitely looking at it here. It's Tales from the Crypt issue number 47 is then all through the house.
Issue 47, huh? I didn't even want to go in order with the comics.
Nope. I like it. I like that. So yeah, I'm going to have to do a little research and maybe.
Well, then that even adds more ridiculousness to why this was the second episode ever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's it's showing some pages here, and it looks pretty interesting.
I wonder if they
It's a comic from the early 80s, so not the early 80s. When did this come out? I don't even remember. But
this episode was out in 1989. I don't know when the comics were.
Right. I think they were a lot older.
I wonder who's thinking about that stuff back then. I like it. Well, what am I saying? Texas Chainsaw Massacre was in the 70s.
That'll be fun. So I'm going to do a little research on that.
So pretty much from here, the show, the episode almost just repeats itself. Like, it's the whole scene all over again. Because so Santa attacks her outside, and she gets into the door, which I'm still wondering at this point how she got in. But she gets into the door, and she was able...
She's from her husband. She checked his pockets. He had keys, which Carrie asked, why did he have his keys in his pocket?
That's the second time around. We're still outside on number one yet. Trust me, that's it. It doesn't make. There's a lot of things. This key thing pisses me off in this episode. So no, because she doesn't drop the keys until after the second time she's outside.
Oh man.
So these are still her keys, but I don't see her opening them. Well, you know what? She hit him with the axe, and I know this might be the one too where he has that ridiculous sound to him, which made me laugh. So she got into the door, and then she was able to hit him with the axe. She chopped his hand as he was reaching in with the axe, and that's what made that sound.
He's basically just laid out in the yard.
Yeah, but and then after that, right away, she ends up calling the operator, and that operator pissed me off.
Yeah,
you can tell that operator. I mean, it wasn't a 911 operator; it was a legit dial zero operator.
Well, the thing that made me mad was, like, she goes, well, you need to tell me where you are. And the lady just stands there and looks at, like, the body, the dead body, and just looks back and forth.
Well, so she looks outside and notices her husband. Now, here's the thing, though. Does she notice her husband, and then does she have a second thought about calling the police because she killed him? Or does she look out and notice Santa's not there right now? Oh, fuck, what do I do?
I think at that point she looks out. Realizes that she has a dead husband in the yard, and she doesn't put that plot together in her head yet to just say that Santa killed him, so she just doesn't say anything, so they don't know where she is.
No, but I have that operator call, and it goes right through me, because she just sounds ridiculous. And, I mean, even the second time she calls, but here's the first one.
Operator, get me the police! You've got to help me! You've got to help me!
Give me your location, ma'am.
My location? It's...
All right, that's where she notices the husband outside. Not notices, but looks out.
Hello.
The operator just hangs up on her.
Yeah, that made me mad, too. I was like, there is no way the operator would hang up.
All right, now, I don't know if... All right, did you ever... Well, you're a musician as well, but did you ever hear, like, in a song... And this will make sense while I'm saying this, but did you ever hear, like, a chord or something in one song and it reminded you of another song, just the way it sounded?
Yeah.
Well, the way, and if you want me to play it again, I will, but the way that she yells, he's here, I pictured the little girl from Polar Express saying, he's here, when Santa Claus came out.
Play it again. I gotta see it.
Do you remember the way she sounds?
Yeah, because my oldest son was obsessed with that movie for a while, so watched it quite a few times. Speaking of Robert Zemeckis.
Operator, get me the police! You've got to help me! You've got to help me!
Give me your location, ma'am.
My location?
So, I mean, you don't have a clip of the girl from Polar Express here.
No,
right?
I don't, no.
But yeah, I know what you mean. I do.
So she has the second thoughts with the operator, and then I don't know why, but that's where she goes into, I guess we could call it a study, because it looked like a desk with the phone and everything. Yep.
Yeah, it was just on the other end of the house.
Why does she go there again, though?
I guess because the other phone is out there. There's a phone out there. I think she runs out there to use the phone.
There is. And it, I know the second time she calls the operator, she runs back. So she drops the phone or something with the operator and then picks it up on the other line, which we'll hear that later. But she goes into the study. But then when she's standing there, that's where the friggin' tire comes flying through a window.
I love it because he was outside. If he saw when he was knocked out, he was just right by a tree with a tire swing in it. So he just grabs the tire swing and explodes the window. It flies through, and all of a sudden, like, she's freaking out. And then after all is said and done, when he's not there anymore, she just closes the shutters.
Gotta keep the wind from coming in.
The window's open. It's like busted open. She thinks just closing the wooden shutters is going to keep him out.
Now, I think this one had a nice, like, when she got it. So, because he broke through the window, and then she's her back's facing the window. He lunges in and starts strangling her from behind. He's kind of like has his elbow wrapped around her neck, and she ends up picking up the axe and whacks him with the blunt end of the axe, which is here. I can't imagine poor Carrie Ann trying to sleep through all this.
No. Now, I would also say if we were to cut out all the screaming in this episode, we might be down to a 9-minute episode.
Yeah. Again, that's so the majority of this is literally screaming. So with this, then, I believe that is when the cop calls because she's in the study when it happens.
Yeah, and that's when she closes the wooden blinds. Where are the shutters?
Mrs. Kamen?
Yes?
Mrs. Kamen, this is Sergeant Feldstein at the Pleasantville Police Station. We're calling everyone in your immediate vicinity about the individual who escaped from the mental hospital tonight.
Huh?
Have you heard anything about it on the news? Or...
No.
Cue heavy breathing?
Yeah, I know. I don't have the whole call there, but you can tell she sounds crazy. If the cop didn't think anything was wrong when talking to her, then, I don't know, you might need another job.
She's like, well, what do I do? And she's breathing so heavy the whole time. She just sounds guilty.
Well, obviously, because, I mean, the police call her to warn her about the crazy Santa. But then she starts to worry because, I mean, that's why she's acting like that, because she doesn't want police showing up.
But why does it take her so long to put this stupid story together that she should just say that the Santa showed up, killed her husband, and, like, totally just blame it on him? Like, why couldn't she? I don't understand why.
I guess you can chalk it up to you just got attacked and almost killed.
Fear of the moment?
Yeah, like, you know, what the hell do I do? You're more, I guess, worried about your safety, completely ignoring that your daughter's upstairs sleeping for the time being.
Well, speaking of the daughter, I was grossed out then at the next scene where she goes and she goes into a closet, right? The mom.
Yeah, well, the mom?
Or the late, a wife.
Yeah, not yet.
Well, I'm saying, like, that scene grosses me out because what happens after this phone call from the police? I don't remember.
After that's when she comes up with that bright idea to say that.
Oh, no, officer.
This is her talking to herself.
I didn't kill her.
Oh, right.
Santa did it. Didn't you, Santa?
The light bulb finally turned on. And then with that, so that was her saying that to herself. You know, she's obviously constructing the story in her head and she's thinking out loud. And then she calls the operator for the second time.
Operator?
The killer! The killer is here! Please, get me the police! I knocked him out! He's here! You've got to hurry!
He's there?
Yes! Yes, he killed my husband!
Give me your location.
The operator was in on it there.
Hello?
She notices Hello? Santa's not there. And so, all right. So all right. So again, skipping a thing because I'm basing, I have notes, but then I have my sound files here and they're all in chronological order, but they kind of skip around. Right before she calls the operator, that's when she goes outside and puts the axe into her husband's head. She misses twice on the left and right side.
See, I thought that she just couldn't do it.
No, she does it because the axe is...
I know she does it, but I'm just saying, I thought that, like, the way she was looking, like, I thought that she just couldn't chop him in the head with an axe. Like, I thought she just didn't have the heart to do it, and then finally she did it.
Oh, no. She was just, she didn't want to look at it hitting him. So the axe is in her head. She says that comment, "Now you're dead." And then she goes into the house and makes that phone call. So at the end of that operator call where you heard the music chime in, she looks out and her husband was originally laying on his back and the axe was in his head with the bar, with the wooden handle parallel with his chest and stomach. And then she right. looks out and the husband's now on his left side and the axe is pulled out, which obviously means Santa came over, grabbed the axe and yanked it out of the husband's head, which caused him to turn over. But she just notices the axe isn't there anymore, which means Santa has it.
And then she realizes that her husband has a gun.
Yeah.
That's what runs into the closet.
Joseph's gun!
Now, it grossed me out too because she goes into that closet and that closet has a window in it. I don't know why I'm grossed out by closets with windows in them.
Yeah, well,
it's a small closet. It could never have been a different type of room. Why would there be a window in it?
It could have been an add-on.
Nope. You don't put a window in there. So she's in there rifling around for the gun, right? She's yeah. reaching. She couldn't find it. And all of a sudden, she just sees a ladder prop up in front of that window.
Yep. And that's when you get a good shot of the face of Santa as well with those teeth. Yeah.
They get a close-up. It looks like his lips aren't as crusty in that scene, but I know what's yeah. going on. So when the ladder's propped up against that and they pan out and they show that window on the second floor.
Oh, doesn't it look like he's standing on the ground still?
There is the biggest gap between where the top of that ladder is and the kid's window.
Oh, yeah. So
there's no way that he would ever reach that window.
There definitely is, but the way – I mean, it didn't look like it, but for filming purposes – I don't know. They weren't thinking back this, especially for a second episode of a series, but mm-hmm. it made it look like they were shooting with a long lens because it looked like when they were shooting down and you saw Carrie Ann, because Carrie Ann then finally saw Santa and she's there trying to help him. So we have this clip first.
I knew you were here, Santa. Come on up. I've been waiting all night.
So Santa's climbing up to get to the little girl. And we see the camera looking straight down. So it's above the bedroom window. So you see the daughter's head.
It's basically like up on the roof shooting down.
Yeah. But doesn't it look, I don't know if you paid attention enough, but it looks like because they show that scene, they go back to the closet, they show the scene again later, and it looks like he hasn't moved anywhere. It looks like his feet are still on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, I don't know if he was just told, don't climb up anymore. We need this shot. But
yeah. Keep your position, but make it look like you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that. What do you think his ultimate goal was with the kid? To kill the kid?
No. And we learn at the very end, the Crypt Keeper lets us know that he does not like killing kids.
Wait a minute. I know I saw the end, but now I don't remember that part.
And the thing is, I didn't even put that on here because I was like, there was no need to. I mean, I was going to briefly mention it. But at the very end, the Crypt Keeper goes, and by the way, if anyone was worried about Carrie Ann, don't worry. Oh. Santa only likes, wait, what was it? Because Santa only goes for, it was a damn pun again, but it was like Santa only goes for the older, people, but it's something about cutting them into pieces. But yeah, so because I guess, you know, they didn't want the audience to be like, well, now he's going to kill the little girl, because I guess that was even taboo
yeah.
for an 80s show. But yeah, the Crypt Keeper lets you know that the little girl was safe.
All right, good.
But we did forget to mention, you said she went in the closet. I don't know if you said that she locked herself in the closet because the freaking doorknob fell off.
As soon as she goes in there, she just tugs on it and it just falls out, and then the outside part just falls off.
Well, you even see her push it. the handle, the other side, it's a classic crystal knob door handle too.
Oh, yeah.
She's in this little closet and with a shelf that she is just not trying hard enough. There's a revolver on top of this shelf.
I like how it's just sitting there too. Now, if there was like a crazed lunatic going up the ladder for your kid, you're going to get that gun a little quicker. She's just in there screaming and struggling. She's the way she's like smashing the door to try to open it. You could tell it's just like a movie set and they got like a couple of gaffers on the outside, like holding the wall so it doesn't fall over.
God, if anything, just punch the underside of the shelf. You know, the gun's there. Keep punching the shelf to vibrate it off. But nope, she doesn't. But she does eventually escape, and she does, she hurries up to Santa Claus.
Please!
Hurry up, you big old Santa.
Sounds like she says you pickled Santa.
Yeah, well, it could be, because half this stuff is hard to hear. I've noticed that music's very loud on top of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he smells like a pickle briny smell.
But the best part is she eventually escapes the closet, and she runs up to a room, and she finds it empty.
Such a build-up.
It was such a build-up. And then you see the empty room, you see the windows wide open, you see this nice cool breeze, and that room just looked like it would have felt really, really good with some snow coming on in. Nice blue glow in the room from the outside. Very nice, actually. But then this brings us to where she goes downstairs, starts to walk down the steps, and she's relieved that she sees her daughter standing at the bottom of the steps.
Yeah, you only see the daughter, that's it.
Yeah, and her hand's kind of holding something off to the right behind the big grandfather clock. But, and with that, we hear this and the nonstop screaming that goes on forever, because what had happened was is that she lets us know that she actually let Santa in.
Oh, Carrie. Thank goodness.
See, Mommy? I told you Santa would come. And he didn't even have to come down the chimney.
Here comes the never-ending scream.
No! No!
That was seriously like 5 minutes of screaming.
Yeah, it went forever. That's the best time. That's the first time we heard Santa talk, though. Naughty or nice?
Now, that scream reminded me, when I was watching it, of a Weird Al Yankovic song when it was Nature Trail to Hell.
Oh, that yeah.
There's like screaming like that, and it seriously sounds just like that.
Yeah, I remember. You and Nick put that on my head trying to get me to have nightmares the one time at the campground. I woke up because you had it blasting so loud.
So that was about how it wrapped up.
Yeah, it was. And then just like all the episodes, which is the same as the cartoon, and then we are finally brought back to the Crypt Keeper, where he kind of wraps up the episode for us with his puns.
In the only way Crypt Keeper can.
Yeah.
How was that for a scream, poison ghouls?
I have this listed as end show, but I don't know what this is. Let me see here.
Well, it just goes to show you. Be very careful what you ask for Christmas. You might just get it.
Again, that laugh is just great.
It is.
If there's one voice I want to learn to imitate, it's going to be that one.
Zach could do his voice really good.
Can he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you need to get some video of that for me.
Well, maybe we should just try to call him and see if he'll do it.
Ray Redinkle here, bringing you a ray of sunshine? Oh, no, a ray of hope.
should I try to call him and see if he'll do it?
Yeah, see if he'll answer.
All right, let me see. He probably won't. What time is it? 10 o'clock.
10:07.
He might. Let me see.
He's fine.
I'll give him a call. He's good at the Crypt Keeper voice. He's going to probably question why, but he'll probably want to know why I'm doing it, if he answers.
And does he know you're on? You have a podcast?
Yeah. I don't know which one. Here we go. Let's call this, see what happens. Let's see if he answers. just sitting here saying calling.
Nah, I'll just do this. Is it even ringing?
No, I don't know what it's doing. That's weird.
If it's AT&T, that seems to be their go-to.
Just sits there and says it's calling, but never does. Oh, here we go.
There we are. Now, why wouldn't he pick up, though? Hey, my buddy Charlie's calling. It's 10:08. He never does that.
Hello?
Zach.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? Are you busy?
I just about to go to bed. Wow, I thought it was like some secret emergency.
No, it's not a secret emergency. But you know what? I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
I want to hear your best. You know, this is probably going to wake your parents, but I need to hear your best Crypt Keeper impression.
It's amazing. Why?
Oh, you know, we're just talking about the Crypt Keeper.
Ooh. Who's this? Who's there?
It's just me and my brother, Kevin.
Well, let me go into the other room here. Lock the door.
Nice.
She gets to beat your mask out of my Halloween stuff.
You probably can't hear me, can he?
Hey.
No.
I didn't do the laugh. It's going to wake him up. Hello, boys and girls. Your old pal, the Crypt Keeper here. I've got a bone to pick with you in our next tale called The Erection Went Wrong.
That's the best.
Oh, loves it.
Oh.
Really, put him on the phone. Maybe when I talk to him. Well, is he scared?
I'm talking to him over Skype, so I don't. I won't.
There's no
Tell him I can hear him.
He can hear you, though.
I can't hear him. That's the pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the best. I want to hear him say "boys and ghouls."
He wants to hear you saying "boys and ghouls."
Boys and ghouls. Oh, hello, boys and ghouls. Kevin, are you speaking? I sound like a regular director. I'm sorry. We'll get it back in the end.
So even he's aware that he does all the puns.
He loves it. Kevin, he's saying that he loves the fact that, you know, he's just nothing but puns. He's loving the Crypt Keeper puns. Yeah, we were talking about Tales from the Crypt, and we were talking about the episode and All Through the House, the Christmas episode.
I can't remember that one.
It was episode number 2, season 1, old school.
Yeah. I'm pretty disappointed that the reboot got canceled.
Yeah, I just read that.
Actually. Wait, there was a reboot?
Actually, been a while now, but it's still rolling down.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead and give me a Crypt Keeper outro, and I'll let you go back to bed.
Outro? Oh God. I gotta go. My mom's home. Yeah, I gotta get the kick out of the idea.
All right. Well, you get some sleep.
Thank you.
Yeah, I gotta go skip to work tomorrow.
All right. Sorry if I woke you. Kevin said. Right. Kevin said thank you.
No, I literally just like laid down in bed and went, "What the hell?"
It's probably hello, boys and ghouls.
it really was. I was like, "What the hell?" Maybe there's something wrong. You dive down there. You strapped in a tree or something. I don't know.
No.
All right.
Thanks. All right. See you later.
I'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
So there you go.
Dude, I'm just going to keep rewinding that part in post and just listen to it all night. That yeah, seriously made my night.
He always did a good Crypt Keeper impression.
I didn't realize he could do that. That's dead on. That was dead on.
Yeah, he's very good at it. He's good at like Crypt Keeper impression and also the classic 80s cartoon villain like from like He-Man. It's kind of similar to the same voice, you know, like Cobra Commander type voice.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always good at that at that as well.
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice...
Yes, he's good at that. So we're gonna pause for a quick commercial break here, and then I want to talk about this commercial when we come back. But then we're gonna wrap up the episode and let you know what's on the docket for next month. So I'm gonna go ahead with this commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Throat>
So I know that sounded a little fuzzy, but the
I could fix that.
Well, the reason it sounded like that was the original commercial, which aired originally in 1989. Listen, that was one of my favorite holiday commercials, which we are going to dedicate an episode. Maybe it'll be a one-off episode, like where it's a shorter one at a different time, but our favorite holiday commercials, because that is one of mine.
I'm surprised you pulled that one out right away out of your bag of tricks.
Well, I had other ones for the 1989, but this episode threw me for a loop because it came out in June. Not really anything good holiday related to go off in June, so I had to go with a 1989.
Oh, wait, I forgot. You're sticking with – and did that come out in 1989, the Hershey Kiss one?
Yep. It was the first year it premiered.
All right. Well, then never mind. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's why I went with that. So well, that was the Hershey Kiss commercial with the tree-shaped design there where they're ringing the bells. I loved it.
Depending on time and everything, I mean, we might have to make some adjustments, you know, but I mean, that could always be. I think a commercial one will be a shorter podcast, yeah. But that's something that we could definitely do, is just review a lot of commercials.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, maybe we'll do an episode where it's just a few commercials, but it'll be like on the 12th of the month as a special bonus episode down the line.
Yeah, I do like it. Overall impressions of the episode for you?
Horrible acting, funny story. You know, there's a few surprises, but I just couldn't take the screaming.
No, I liked it for what it was. It wasn't bad. I agree. The acting was subpar, way subpar. I'm looking forward to. We want to spread things out, but in the future, I'm looking forward to going through the episode guide of Tales from the Crypt and seeing what else we could throw in. I mean, Tales from the Crypt, we could probably do any one of... Well, no, not probably. We could do any one of these for Halloween. This one just so happened to be a Christmas one as well, so it really doesn't matter.
It was a double. There was one continuity error in the episode that I forgot to mention. The scene where she's outside with the husband the first time. Mm-hmm. She's out there and she has her coat on with the hood up, and there's like no snow on her at all. She's completely clean. But then a second later when she goes back into the house for that first time, she's completely covered in snow, like she was out there for an hour or two. So I did notice that. But that was it. Like you were saying, I definitely am going to watch some of the other episodes. I want to like try to do something different and like watch one of the last episodes real quick just to see how different it was from like one of the beginnings. And then I'll go back and fill in and watch in the middle.
Well,
I think that's funny to do.
You have to be careful though. It'd probably be okay with that. But I mean, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, there's only three seasons. The first two were great. The third season came out 8 years later, I think. And it was completely redone by different people. So the Crypt Keeper didn't even look like the Crypt Keeper anymore. He looked like he was a teenager, just without a nose. And
I do remember that now.
Yeah, and
now
like that... it in the whatchamacallit, the stories were completely different. However, though, it's not on our list for this year, but we are going to be watching one of the episodes of Tales from the Crypt Keeper, called It's For You. It will give you a serious Are You Afraid of the Dark Madeline vibe.
That was the ghost in the room, the apartment.
Yeah. Ugh. And I have to say, for a cartoon for kids, it was creepy, this episode. So, and I loved every second of it. And it takes place during Christmas, so.
All right, that'll be good. Yeah. I was going to ask if there was any Crypt Keeper episodes that were holiday related.
Yeah, no, that one does. I think there's a Halloween one as well. All right. Yeah, there's quite a few good ones on there. I made Bridget watch them. She calls it the scary show. She loves it.
That's good. So your overall thoughts on this episode?
I liked it. Like I said, I'm definitely curious on some future episodes. I think it'll be good. I mean, I plan on watching the whole series anyway. You know, going to what you wanted to start. I think we did it for two podcasts and we kind of stopped. You had always said you wanted to see if we could be one character in the show. Who would it be? And I honestly think the only choice you have is either the little girl or the Crypt Keeper. And I think I would go with the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, I would go with the Crypt Keeper on this one as well. Cause, he doesn't have anything to do with that gross story except he's telling it to us. And I love his zings. I love his puns,
which I mean, the Crypt Keeper would be a cop out, I guess. But I mean, who are you really gonna, I mean, he is, but he isn't. I mean, he's part of the episode, but he's not part of the story. So I guess if we want to be true to it, if I had to stick with it, I would just say that I'd be the operator because she seems like she doesn't fucking take shit from anybody.
All right. Well, then, I mean, if we're going to go that route, I'll just go with the officer that called her to tell her that there's going to be someone else there, because that guy's at least the furthest removed from this whole situation.
I was going to say, we both, that's still, I mean, it works, it counts, but we both just copped out again by picking the phone people.
I don't want to go anywhere near that situation.
No, I don't either. I mean, you know the little girl's safe, but what does that really mean? Like, he kills the mother, but then obviously the girl witnesses that, and then does he kidnap her? And
now she just lives a life with this gross Santa Claus.
Yeah, I mean, that too. You have no idea. Well, Nat King Cole plays in the background.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should be the Nat King Cole.
that'd be the biggest cop out ever.
But because that wasn't a character, but or yeah, that'll be my answer.
I think the ultimate cop out would be like, I think I would like to be Robert Zemeckis.
Robert Zemeckis. Yeah. All right, well, that's gonna about do it for the episode of Tales from the Crypt and All Through the House. Yeah. It was enjoyable. We're gonna come back for some more. Next. We'll discuss what we're going to do on the next month's episode. For September, Labor Day, we're going to do the movie Office Space.
Yep, and if you're wondering, why? Well, what's Labor Day all about? The working man's holiday.
So that'll be fun. I haven't watched that movie in years.
God, I haven't either. I only just saw it quickly. I don't know if you watch The Wall. I know you're not a Chris Hardwick fan, but...
I watched two episodes, and it was too stressful for me to watch.
Oh, well, this past week, one of the questions was... they always give you the three answers first, and then the guy, you know, or who's ever out there bets on the balls, and then it goes back, and the things were, the answers were stapler, hole puncher, or I forgot the other item, and then it showed the scene from Office Space, and it showed what's his name, and it said what item did he want that was red. And blah, 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 which, you know, was the stapler.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it just reminded me of that, and I completely forgot we were actually doing that for next month. So, and again, you know, with everything going on, you know, with me, with the family, we didn't talk about it in this episode, but if you listened last month with Garfield, you would have heard what was going on. So hopefully by the time you're hearing this, I'm already back home and everything is good to go, but hopefully time will not be too much of an issue. I mean, it's, as we said, today's July 23rd. I had a little bit of free time coming home to get the mail and everything, so we were able to put this together. It was a shorter episode and everything, and we're literally just over an hour long here, so it kind of works out, and hopefully won't have any issues, and come September we'll kind of pick up and just, you know, keep it going like we did here with August.
Yeah, and with also with the time of the year that we're rolling into, you're going to start seeing a lot of holiday themed stuff out in the stores. So if you want, you could also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all those social medias. If you just look for The Holiday Bros, we're on there. Twitter and Instagram, I know it's at The Holiday Bros. And Facebook, you're kind of running that one, so I don't know how you would...
You could type in just The Holiday Bros, and you'll get... the way Facebook works, I mentioned it before, we have the fan page, like the page is the podcast, but you have to have a regular Facebook page in order to have this subpage. So if you look up The Holiday Bros, you would find us, and you could friend request. However, though, I wasn't really taking in friend requests. I was hoping people would find the page called at The Holiday Bros, and okay, they would be able to they like that then. So you could just like it, and I can't control who likes it and who doesn't like it. So it's not like having a friend on Facebook. You could just like the page. And that's right, actually where we post the info. If you were to look at our regular page, the last real update, I think, was something that you may have typed up on there, not realizing.
Yeah, I probably did off of the phone app.
Yeah.
On that.
So technically, I don't put it on that stuff. I always do it on the actual... their business pages, I guess, if you really will. Though this isn't a business, but that's what they call them.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to follow us on there, because with the holidays coming up, I posted a couple pictures yesterday. I was out and about and found some holiday items, so I posted those up. So we will also be posting some holiday information on there. Some, you know, if we find anything interesting, we'll post it. And you could also email the show. That's theholidaybros@gmail.com. Or is it theholidaybrospodcast@gmail.com? What is it?
It's theholidaybros@gmail.com.
So we got The Holiday Bros for everything. So theholidaybros@gmail.com. You can go there, email us if you have any suggestions for future episodes, because we'll be compiling a list for next year's episodes as well.
Oh, we can always make a random switcheroo as well, you know, during the year if we like something better. So
yeah, go ahead and interact with us. You could listen to us on I believe it's on TuneIn Radio. We're on Apple Podcasts, which is formerly iTunes. I believe it's now called Apple Podcasts. And anywhere you get podcasts, you can look for us. We'll be on there.
Yeah, please do.
Leave us a rating and review. And if you want, you can do all that on Apple Podcasts, on the app, iTunes, whatever it's called now. Who knows? But we'll be back next month. Like I said, we'll be doing Office Space Labor Day episode. So until then, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to say,
Merry Christmas, you son of a bitch.
Whoa. Wait a minute. I don't think that's the way we're supposed to say that.
Sorry, boys and ghouls.
Let's try this again.
I need some work on that.
A little more family-friendly outro this time. So,
all right, fine.
This episode of the Holiday Bros Podcast, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to bid you farewell and happy holiday from the
Holiday Bros.